Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad He knows the clay, aren't you? It is a joy to be able to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I am improved. I am not 100%, but the Lord is good no matter what comes our way or we have to endure in this life. And we want to thank you for being with us this morning, for your prayers and your concern, your calls, and we thank you for that. I'm in Luke chapter number 11. Everything from start to finish is pointed to this message today. I think maybe I became sick so I couldn't preach this last Sunday. Because the only way I wouldn't preach this last Sunday is if I wasn't here, and guess what? I wasn't here. So, I'm in Luke 11, verse number 1 is the one I'm going to use. This is going to be just a few minutes in preaching this morning. You bear with me. I know this is what we need to hear today. There's tragedies throughout our community and our place. There's been a lot of deaths. There's been a lot of sorrow, people dealing with things. And you know what you call that, friend? You call that life. You call that life. Man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble is, if you're not in trouble right now, you're about to be, or you have been. Trouble is close behind. It's something we deal with. It's because of sin, and that's why we have trouble. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Hadn't it been for sin, we wouldn't have death. But one of these days, I'm glad to say, praise God, that Jesus has overcome death, hell, and the grave. He conquered sin. And one of these days, the last enemy, He's going to put her down. Are you in Luke 11 and verse number 1? Shout amen. Amen. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning and for what you're going to do in this place. I thank you for what you've already done. You have encouraged my heart in the Sunday school hour, in the pre-service prayer. Lord, in the singing, in the children, bringing the tithes and offerings into the children's home fund, and for those that have gathered in this place, I pray, Lord, now that you would fill my mouth. You would guard my tongue. You would preach me inside the bounds of your book. I have no other purpose to live than to serve you. And Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and my faults and failures. But I'm dependent on you wholly and completely. God, I have nothing within myself. I know my inabilities. I know my shortcomings and, God, my multitude of faults. But I know the power of your resurrection. And I thank you for the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Oh God, that abides with us forever. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to do what we do. Now, Lord, do what you do for your glory through your preacher for a little while. I'll get out of the way. Save the one lost here this morning and do it for your glory. In my Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I have not preached on the topic of prayer it has been some time. I owe my church an apology for that. We should preach more upon this topic of prayer. It was a known fact that in the day John had taught some of his disciples to pray. There was a regiment of prayer, and especially with the Hebrews that they went through. I'm not going all into that. It wasn't biblical. It was traditional. They came up with this and they said, this is the way you must pray. And they had a list. And if you prayed a certain way in a certain time for a certain period, it would be beneficial. And if you didn't, you wasn't going to get anything out of it. But obviously, by the time Jesus, now He's nearly 3 years into the ministry right here. He's getting very close. It's the borderline of whether he's been 2 to 3 years. He's coming into this third year, and this is not the first time they've heard him pray. I want us to consider that as a title for the message today, Teach Us to Pray. I'm afraid oftentimes our prayer become habitual. And we pray, and then if it's not habitual, then maybe we don't pray at all, and we have not because we ask not. And so prayer is the greatest of our weapons in our arsenal against the wicked and the rulers of darkness in this world. And my friend, I can assure you today, we are in a spiritual warfare. Now, if these disciples have been watching Jesus for at least 2 years, going on 3 years at this time, Brother Danny, and we find in Luke, we find the times that Jesus prayed. These aren't recorded in Matthew. These aren't as recorded in Mark as often as they are in Luke. In Matthew, Christ is typified as the king. In Mark, he's typified as a servant. But in Luke, he's typified as the perfect man. We know that he's God in John. But as man, him being typified as man in this book, I don't think it's coincidental that Dr. Luke showed him praying more often than the other gospels together. So we find in first, we see the disciples, or those disciples of John that would have been around Jesus at the particular time of his baptism, Andrew being one of those. In Luke 3:21, Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven opened up. So at the baptism of Jesus, he was praying. You might ask, why would Jesus have to pray? Was he not God? He was God, but he was also man. Hey, and in the man, the Son of Man needed to pray to the Heavenly Father for the example of those around him that they could see the benefit of prayer. Teach us to pray. We see him in Luke 3:21. He's praying at his baptism. We don't go very far. We get into Luke 5:16. We're going to see this. Jesus withdraws himself into the wilderness and prayed. Oftentimes, they think we need prayer. Now, there was people around him at his baptism. But there's times and seasons of prayer when we need to withdraw ourselves, Brother Gordon. We need to get away from everything, everyone, except you and the Father, and find ourselves in a place and an attitude of prayer and pray in that place where there's no interruptions. We find him praying in the wilderness. In Luke 6:12, here's what we're going to find. I found this very interesting. Jesus goes up on a mountain and he prays all night. And he prays all night. And then the next morning, Brother Randy, he chooses him 12 men. So when the big decision that he had, the choice that he was about to make, the thing that was going to be relevant even to us today, these 12 men turned the world upside down. Minus one, add one, put Paul in there. Hey, turn the world upside down. When he's going to make that decision, he didn't go in and pray for 3 minutes. He didn't pray for 5 minutes. He prayed all night long. And when he had prayed all night long, the next day God showed him who he needed. Ten-cent prayers don't receive million-dollar answers. In Luke 9:29, we find him on the mountain praying again. He's got his 3 men with him. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Hey, they saw him as if he was in that glorified position. The power of God, the holy power, the glory cloud, if you would, Brother Dennis. What Moses had asked him for 1,500 years prior to that, he was getting to see him with today. When he said, "Show me thy glory," there was the glory of God on the mountain. Come down upon Christ, and the glory revealed to old Moses. He was praying, and he changed his countenance. Do you remember that kind of prayer? Do you remember countenance changing prayer? Prayer that when you got up from praying that, they said, "Hey, there's something different about them. I don't know what that." Now, I'm not saying, listen to me close this morning. You don't live in that all the time. You do not. I'm jumping off in deep water right here. You can't live in that all the time. Why would you say that? Because you're living in this. But yes, sir. But there is periods of time. There is periods of time when the Spirit overcomes the flesh and begins to reign up over that thing. And when it does, praise God, the flesh has to lay down because the flesh is weak, but the Spirit's willing. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you and that countenance begins to change, and you know right then, God's heard your prayer. You've been in touch with glory, and glory's been in touch with you. And you know there's a difference. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, we don't need dead, dry, no ineffective prayer. We need fervent prayer. Countenance changing prayer. Prayer that will change you, and when it does, people see it. In this particular verse alone, you stay with me this morning. In this particular verse alone, we see prayer commanded. We see prayer continued. He said, when he prayed and when he was finished, there's what they said, "Lord, teach us," as John also taught him. We see prayer commanded. We see prayer continued. And we see prayer confident. He's praying to the Father. 1 John 5:14, this is confidence that we have Him. If we ask anything in His name, hey, in His will, what does He do, Brother Junior? He heareth us. That's the confidence we have this morning. Now I'm about to get in some things right here. It's going to help our church today. It's going to change you. Not everybody's going to take it. Somebody is. Some are. I have. Number one, I want us to consider this. If He's going to teach us to pray, I want us to consider, number one, the point of prayer. Why do you do it? Randy, you said it this morning. What is the point of prayer? What is the point of prayer? Well, I know it was commanded of Jesus. And Jesus continued in prayer throughout. He exampled it through His entire life. And John told us this is the confidence that we have. We know what prayer can do. We know, if we know what prayer can do, why don't we pray more? I'll tell you why. Because we really don't believe it'll do it. That's why we don't. Now Gordon's prayer might do it. Or David's. But my prayer won't do it. That is the opinion of many. The point of prayer. The point of prayer. I've got one sub-point under each one of these until I get to the last. And the point of prayer is this. It is simply this. It's communication between you and God. You know what He wants to do? He wants to hear from you. Now, He wants to hear from me. But He wants to hear from you. And He don't want to hear from you on Sunday morning only. I'm going to use my son in this illustration. I know he's at another church today, so he's not watching this message. And he's not ashamed of this. But I talk to him 3 or 4 times a day. He's 35 years old. He don't have to talk to me that much. And if I don't call him, he calls me. Hey! What are you doing? What's going on? Why would he do that? Because he loves me. Hey! You know what he wants to do? He wants to hear my voice. He wants to hear my voice. The psalmist said in Psalm 116, he said, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. He said, he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore shall I call upon him. As long as I shall live, I'm not going to quit talking to my Father. He wants to hear from you. How often does he hear from you? If I only talked to Pat once a week, she wouldn't think I cared much for her. And you want the reality? Right here it is, right down where the rubber meets the road. If I only talked to her once a week, I don't care much for her. God don't want a text message. He wants a conversation. He wants it with you. God wants to hear from you. Why, how do you know that, preacher? Because Jesus said, when you pray, say. Now, I'm not going through all this entire prayer. Number one, teach us to pray. Let's consider the point of prayer. Why are you praying? You ever tried to pray and not asking for anything? Dennis, I have intentionally went into my prayer place with this on my heart. God, I am not going to ask you for one thing, and before I'm done, before I'm finished with that prayer, I slip up and I ask him for something. Now, I didn't want to. I was just going to thank him for everything, and I was not going to ask him for nothing. And before it's over, I'm asking him for something. You know what? He doesn't mind. You think my boy calls me, asks me for something? I say, no way, bud, you're out, done. Nah. Number two, teach us to pray. We need to know the point of prayer. Number two, we have the example of Jesus praying all the ways up to this time. These guys have watched him for nearly 3 years. They've come to this place. They say, hey, he needs to teach us. We need to learn. We need to know this. I want us to consider this. The privilege of prayer. Now, most times, and if any of you call me, I take your call unless I'm on another call or I'm taking a nap and I've got my phone turned off. But God never slumbers or sleeps. So His line is always open. And He will speak right now. You don't have to leave Him a voicemail. You can just speak with Him. He doesn't have to take a message. He can hear you right now. He can hear us all at the same time. How does that happen? I don't know. He's God, and that's the only way He can happen. Are you still with me? Do we consider what a privilege it is to pray? This just kills me. We were in an airport one time. I forget where we were going. And Vince Gill was sitting there at the airport. And then these people had went ballistic because Vince Gill was sitting in the airport. I mean, they're acting like little kids. That's Vince Gill. I get my picture with Vince Gill. I got nothing against Vince Gill. He puts his boots on just like I do. Now, you put the Apostle Paul in there, I might want his autograph, but Vince Gill, forget it. People get all giddy about this guy because, you know why? Because everybody, or a lot of people know him. So if they, think, you know, if I could somehow, vicariously, if I know him, they might know me. I don't know why we go so crazy over this stuff. And people do it with all, they make celebrities out of everything. Preachers, singing groups, all this stuff. I mean, people are followers by nature. It's really not a privilege to talk to Vince Gill. But to the one that made everything that is. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore let us come to the throne of grace with boldness, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I'm telling you, Brother Paul Phillips, that is a privilege right there. Hey, when I got something I need, I can call some celebrity. They'll say tough. But when I get on to the phone of my Father, then He's listening to what I got to say. What a privilege. How often we take that for granted. Jesus died that I could speak to Him and get to the Father. It's a privilege to pray. Teach us to pray. Let's consider the point of it. We communicate with God. What is the privilege of it is this, that we can come before His throne. Number three, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. I don't want to misquote this. The priority of prayer. It's the place where we're consoled by God. James 5:13 said, is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. Now that affliction, it's not only in a physical sense. It goes a long ways, Brother Gordon, kind of in the same vein you were in this morning. It can take you down another road. It's that thing that's bothering you so bad. It's that thing you got caught up in, and you've been caught up in it time and time again. You are afflicted by this thing. And it's, you know what? It's self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. And we inflict ourselves, and we are afflicted by it. And then we over and over. And James said, if there's any in this condition, let them pray. Why would he say that? We have the point of this prayer. And we have the privilege to come into this place of prayer. And we are consoled. You know what this should be? It should make prayer a priority in our life. Watch this. How many knows it's easier to pray under affliction than when everything's perfect? I mean, when everything's going just right, and you're in that room, you're thanking God for everything. There's not a wrinkle in the sheet. Hey, everything's good. The garden's full. The ox is fat. The fridge is full. The job's good. Insurance is paid. Everything's kicking along. And we get in there and we try to pray. And we're going to do some real praying. And it's, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for a good day. But let something happen. Let something happen. Let the doctor look at you and say, you've got 3 months to live. You know what prayer becomes then? A priority. This has happened, Pat. Georgia May. Yes, Georgia May. So, Brother Mike Cox, pastors in Forestdale, Dusty's former pastor in Birmingham, has a cousin who has a 7-year-old child. By the way, there was a 7-year-old passed away out in Rennie this week. Roger's devastated. Josh, the LaRue family, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Prior to this past week, we've been in revival down here at this little country church down in Smithville at the Brethren in Christ. And we're trying to pray. And I saw a picture of this little girl. And her name's Georgia May. And Dusty called me on the way home from church one night. He said, Daddy, said Dusty, Georgia May's cancer is back. He said, the doctors have given her pretty much a death sentence. And a 7-year-old baby looked at her mama and said, Mama, am I dying? Brother Larry, I saw her picture. And when I saw her picture, something happened in me. I can't explain this. Listen, you ask me to pray often, and I do for a lot of you. I don't pray for miracles very often. Rare. It's rare. I pray for His will. If His will be a miracle, then the miracle is what we'll take. But there is times that it's beyond me. And I can't explain it. And when the Holy Ghost puts that in your heart, Danny, and I saw her picture, it crushed my soul. It crushed me. I thought I was going to lose my breath. I thought, my God in heaven, I don't understand. I didn't know the little LaRue child. I didn't know which church she was associated with. I didn't know all this. This is prior to all that. And here's this baby, and his cancer's back, and I'm crushed by it. Then as I said, God, I don't understand it. And I went into the throne room. And my prayer that day wasn't for my family. It wasn't for my church. Listen, you are our top priority in my prayer list. But everything seemed to take a lower place on the shelf that night. And when I got in the prayer room, the Holy Ghost sat down upon me and I could see myself at the throne of God. And I said, God, I'm not asking for a miracle in a long time, but there's a baby named Georgia May that needs the hand of heaven or she's not going to make it. Oh God, it's up to you. I don't know what happened. I don't know what God's going to do. And I know that mom and daddy don't know right now either. But I told Dusty, I said, son, your daddy's not saying that baby's healed, but I'm saying this. They're about to get some help. I know. I heard a voice. I heard something from another land. Hallelujah. It's a beyond. It's above the doctors. And it's beyond man. It's in the hand of God. When prayer becomes that priority, things are changed. Lastly today, we are consoled of God when prayer becomes a priority. I want us to consider this. We have the examples throughout the Bible. I'm not going to use them all today. But I want us to consider the power of prayer. A.C. Dixon, a preacher of yesteryear, said this. He said, when we use our money and our means and our abilities, you know what? We have what we can do. But said, when we pray unto God, we have what God can do. And with all God, all things are possible. The things that we don't understand or comprehend, with the hand of God upon it, Brother Jason, it is accomplished. Yes. Number one, quickly this morning, the power of prayer. There's power in these prayers to us or to those who might be scared when fear has gripped you, whatever that might be. And there's times, listen, tough guy, there's times when you are scared. Psalm 46:1 said, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's times when we're scared. I liked what you said about the little children this morning, pulling that scripture out. Listen, except you be converted and become as a little child, you're not going to get in. I want you to understand what little children do. They believe anything the Father tells them. There were some children got lost in the edge of the woods. The mother had told them not to play out there. Said, don't go out to the woods. Stay in the yard. They habitually, like children do, they ran out into the woods and had gone too far. They lost sight of a house. They went across the creek in a hollow. Pretty soon they're up there on another plateau. They don't know where they're at. They're scared. The night's beginning to fall. It's getting dark. They don't know what to do. And said, the oldest girl among them, I thought of Lexi when I was reading this story. She just come on my heart. The oldest girl among them said, you know what mother always said to do? She said, if we're scared, said we should just pray. Said when we're afraid, we should just pray. And so the children got down there in a circle and they began to pray and said, one of the little boys, I thought of Cole. I couldn't help it. I thought this is what Cole would do. One of the boys opened his eyes and peeked out to the side. There was a bird lit beside him. So he disrupts the prayer and jumps for the bird and misses the bird. And the bird hops about 3 feet in front of him. And the little boy jumps for the bird again. And the bird hops about 3 feet in front of him. Oh, now the other kids have quit praying and they're chasing the boy who's chasing the bird. And the bird breaks out of the edge of the woods. And guess what they're in front of? There's their house. I thought, how many times God sent the little bird my way? Got my attention off of what was tearing us down. Said, just chase the little birdie, hallelujah. Hey, lead us right where we need to be. This is going to get in water that's too deep to wade. We'll have to swim here just a moment. But there's power in prayer for those that are scared. What are you afraid of today, young person? Facing things at school you don't know what to do? Listen, there's power in prayer. Teach us to pray. Fervent prayer. There's times, listen, there's power in that prayer to those that are sick. I can't answer this question. And I'm often asked this, why did he heal this one and not that one? I don't know. My Aunt Wilma is being buried this afternoon. As we was preparing for Brother Branch's sister-in-law's funeral, Catherine, his brother's wife, Catherine, she passed away. As we were preparing to go to her funeral, was that Thursday? Friday. As we're preparing to go to that funeral, I get a text message. My brother's father-in-law died. I receive another text message that my Aunt Wilma had passed away. So while I'm preparing for a funeral, I get two text messages ready for other funerals. But Aunt Wilma contracted breast cancer just like my mother did. My mama was 47. She died. Wilma lived. Wilma lived till she was 74. Is that the right math? 75? 70. Why? I don't know why. But I'm going to tell you this. God still sometimes chooses to heal that which the world says is dead and can't do anything about it. Brother Blanchard, he's a preacher of yesteryear, 20th century, early 20th century, died in 1925. Blanchard said he was on the stage one night and said this gentleman was sitting beside him, big, robust fellow. And he said, are you here to bring a message? He said, no. He said, I'm here to deliver my testimony tonight. Brother Blanchard said, so the gentleman got up before I did. He walked up to the podium. He said, you don't know me. I'm an engineer for such and such railroad. I drive a fast train. He said, some years back, he said, I had gotten down to 100 pounds. He said, the doctors told my wife, said he is going to die. There's not anything we can do with it. And said he had dropped down to nearly 100 pounds. I was laying in the hospital room and he said, I quit breathing. He said, the doctor took my wife by the arm and said, I'm sorry. He said, we've done all we can and he has died. She said, he can't have died. God told me he's going to save him before he died. And he'd be in hell if he's dead. He can't be dead. And I'm going to pray. The doctor said, you can do what you will. He's dead. Said she fell down on that hard floor underneath that gurney and began to weep and sob and call unto God. Now, I know some of you are going to think this is out of Banks. Said after an hour, another physician came in and said, ma'am, I'm sorry that for the loss of your husband, but he is gone. She said, he can't be gone. God told me, promised me, spoke in my spirit. He was going to save him before he died. He can't be dead. And she continued to pray. This continued on until a nurse came in and felt sorry for her and gave her a pillow to go under her knees. They brought in 7 doctors. Now the 7th physician made the same claim that all the others made. This guy's gone and you can't do anything about it. And about that time, he opened his eyes. Now there's some in this congregation this morning, some watching on the internet that's going to say, that is impossible. That's what my God does.
Yes, sir.
Say, I don't believe you do it. That's why he won't do it for you. This woman was not going to get up off the floor for 13 hours, Danny White. She laid on that cold concrete and cried out to God. And said, when he raised up and looked at her, she said, what do you want, my dear? He said, I want to go home. She said, get up, let's go home. The doctor said, you can't go home. She said, you've had your chance. He said, today I stand here 246 pounds and I can't explain how it happened or why it happened. All I know is 7 doctors told me I was dead and I stand before you tell you I drove a train from Minneapolis last night and I'm doing pretty good. Say, that's way out there, preacher. Let me tell you something that's way more way out there than that. A fella died on a cross. They stabbed him in the side. There's no life left in him. Bless God. And the stone rolled away to show him an empty hole because he comes stepping out of the grave. That's him. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. Lastly this morning, there's power in the prayer to those that are scared. To those that are sick. So I'm sick and I can't get better. You won't like that. Say, well, I don't think God will heal me. Probably won't like that. Jesus was adamant about this. As your faith is, so be it unto you. Where's Brooks? Oh, he just left. Hold him up. Come in here, Rodney. Hold him up. Hold him up right there. He looks like he's doing pretty good to me. They had several tell him that, and right there wasn't ever going to make it. He looks like he's doing pretty good to me. Bless God, I'm telling you. Hey, when I walked out of that room that day, the Lord said, it's going to be okay. Glory to God, his diaper looked like a Band-Aid. Surgery after surgery, this after that, praise God, there he is today. That's what God can do. But it's not only for the scared and the sick, it's for the sinner. It's for the sinners. Brother Austin, I reminisced this morning the day you were saved over in Old Sanctuary. I remember I got up to lead singing Delbert like to never quit preaching that morning. And when the invitation was given, here come Austin walking around. So I can still see him kneeling down. And he was hurt. He'd been hurt on a four-wheeler. And he knelt down slow and he got up slow. But he got up different and he knelt down. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's power to save this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, Jeffrey, I remember you kneeling right here that day. I opened up that Bible and I said, read this for me. And you read that aloud. And I'll never forget it. I see his face. I think about it often. I stood up. He said, I'm saved. Just like that. How do you know? The Spirit of God, that's what he knew. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I thought about going through the congregation. Don't have time to do it. And ask you, Verena, just come play something soft. Now I know there's been tragedy. And there's been things we can't answer. But I'm telling you, we overcome these things through prayer and supplication and seeking God. Listen, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He encourages us. He empowers us to overcome things.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.